Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app.
Get juicy red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey there. Welcome to Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
Hello.
2 weeks in a row.
Ugh.
What kind of professionals are we?
I don't know. I'm just trying to open up this Apple TV app and it's giving me the gears so I can read the thing.
Well, I want to talk about how this might be our last episode on account that you're leaving me.
For 3 nights.
Well, maybe this is your getaway plan.
Oh my God.
You're like, oh, I've been summoned on a board retreat. I've got to go to Kelowna.
Kelowna is it's God's country. It's nice up there.
Yeah. And then you're never going to come back.
Like, I do like it there.
And then I'm going to be singing that Reba song. A single mom who works two jobs, who loves her kids, but never
I was
stops.
Like, fancy?
Well, depending on how my finances go, that might be
it. You never know.
Something fancy don't let me down.
Yeah. Here's your one chance, fancy don't let me down.
Jeez Louise.
No, I'm going to come back.
All right.
We'll see. And we're going to record more.
Gosh, I hope so.
Over
on our Patreon, we are recapping more than just Seventh Heaven, and we're doing some deep dives on different things. But one of our Patreon episodes, I recap for you season one of The Baxters, which is like a modern day Seventh Heaven, but somehow more problematic. And I'm going to rewatch season two this weekend. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say?
I was going to say with more guns.
More guns, for sure. And we're going to recap season two.
I'm excited about it.
So
I listened to, Lucy, Ruthie, and Simon, the people in real life. So Beverly Mitchell, David Gallagher, and Mackenzie
Rossman.
They have a podcast right now called Catching Up with the Camdens.
Yep.
And it's like a video podcast. And I keep seeing clips and I want to watch it. And anyways, I listened, so they've started recapping Seventh Heaven. So I listened to
because
them.
Because of us. We probably inspired them.
Totally. They were like, oh, we got to get on this.
Yeah.
So I listened to their episode where they recapped the pilot. And it's pretty funny.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we'll put that on the Patreon.
Okay. Like a recap of their recap?
Yeah. Like I'm going to tell you about their recap.
Oh, I see.
Okay. I learned some things I didn't know. And now when I watch the show, I'm like, interesting.
Does it smell like electrical fire in here?
No.
Okay.
But it is very cold and the furnace was just on for the first time since last April.
Okay. I mean, if we have to cut out early because there's a fire, we'll let you know. Yeah. But
no, I think we're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So season three, episode 11.
Nobody knows.
But I think this should have been called Bad Liars.
Yeah. It should have been
like that would have been the better title.
Yeah. Because like it is that nobody knows because everybody's lying.
Not well.
But they're not lying well. Annie points it out a few times that nobody's a good liar, including her and Eric. So it's January 11th, 1999. 1 year until Y2K.
Ooh.
I know. Wild. Mary can't get the hang of parallel parking, so she uses her feminine wiles to pass her driver's test.
I was very disappointed to realize when they say feminine wiles, they didn't, like, I thought she was going to try and, like, be flirty.
Yeah. not crying.
And then when I saw the instructor, I was like, well, this is going to be inappropriate and creepy.
Yeah. But I was excited about that.
Yeah. Like in a content creation sort of way, something to talk about.
Yeah.
But it turns out she just cried.
Yeah.
Like a fake cry and got her way. So I don't know.
I know. And like, I've heard of cops not giving people tickets because they cried. But like,
I've cried. I still got the ticket, but I'm kind of an ugly crier. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like get
doe-eyed. You're not a cute crier?
No.
Officer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's I not me. Have never cried. And sometimes I've got a
period.
Ticket. Period. And sometimes I've gotten a ticket, and a couple times I have not. One time I didn't get a ticket, and Greg was in the car with me, and he was just like, oh, man. He's like, you're so lucky. That thought was me. That guy would have given me 3 tickets. Like, yeah. He just felt like because I was a woman, I got out of the ticket.
Yeah.
But, like, one time I got a warning because a cop pulled me over, and Olivia, who was only my daughter, who was only, like, a year and a half, she started crying. And every time the officer like walked the length of the car, the dogs barked because they were in the car too.
Oh,
and
no.
She screamed, cried, and he was just like, you're good.
Oh my God.
I know. So she got me out of a ticket once for crying, but.
Well,
there you go.
Thanks, Olivia.
Yeah. Okay.
So like, what are we? Let's talk about Mary first.
Yeah.
Her feminine agreed. Wiles. So she decides, so everyone is like, she's never going to get her license. She can't parallel park.
Yeah.
And Lucy convinces her, if he asks you to parallel park, just cry and you'll get out of it. And sure. And she's like, they don't always ask you to parallel park. So I'm just taking my bets and or taking a risk. And then sure enough, he asks her to parallel park and she literally crushes some pylons.
Like front and back.
Yeah. And then she starts crying and she gets her license anyway.
Did you get your license on your first try?
Yes.
Me too. Did you have to parallel park?
I must have.
I did.
I'm a pretty decent parallel parker.
Yeah. There's an inside joke in my family that we're all very good parkers.
Oh.
Me, Dave, and my mom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that why you don't trust my self-parking vehicle?
100%. Your self-parking vehicle is a sham.
It's not. I've used it.
No, I get like, it goes about 3 feet and then I'm like, nope. And I take control over again.
Like, yeah, it does say like you need to be prepared to take over. It's not flawless, but.
It's not a robot.
But I've used it. It's pretty neat.
I know. I was in the car when you used it and it is very neat.
But.
I remember during my driving test, I wasn't in the car for very long. Like in my head, for some reason, I thought this was going to be like an hour or something. I don't know.
Oh.
And we got in the car in my high school parking lot. We like literally just drove around the block twice. He asked me to parallel park and he said, okay, go back to the school. And I was like,
I failed.
I'm done. But sure enough.
My favorite story from my grandpa, who's no longer with us. He said when he got his license, he was 16 and he drove the family car over to the cop shop and said, hey, I want to get my license. And so a cop said, okay. He like told him a route to take. And then the cop just followed him.
Not even in his own car?
Nope. The cop just followed him in his own car and he did the route. And he's like, okay, yeah, you're good to go.
But he already drove to the police station without. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was probably like the 40s.
Probably.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
I like that. My grandma, who is still alive. She told me that her and my aunt, who isn't alive, learned how to drive by just driving up from the cottage up to the highway and back. So it's a kilometer like round trip.
Yeah.
And she said they would just drive an old car.
Up and down. I do think it's interesting now to think about like Olivia is going to get her learner's license.
Like in 2 weeks she can get her learner's.
Yeah. But like, I almost want to go buy an old car with no bells and whistles. Because I think there's something to be said about learning to drive with, like, no backup camera, no sensors.
I thought you were going to say, because she was going to crash it. Because that's what happened in my family.
Right.
We all got our license, and then I crashed the family vehicle. It was a really nice 1994 Jimmy, and rode it off. And so my mom was like, you know what? If the three of us are sharing a car, screw you guys. And she bought a 1989 Oldsmobile.
Yeah.
And that's what we all drove.
Yeah. But I just think, like, I think you're missing something if you're not learning to trust your own judgment. If you're only going to learn to drive these like new cars.
I agree, because especially your car. I think my car is a bit better. Yes, it has the backup camera, but it doesn't have all the bells and whistles that yours has. Like, it doesn't have it doesn't light up on the mirrors if there's a person in your blind spot.
Right.
It doesn't. Your seat vibrates.
I know. If someone's coming up on the left, your left butt cheek vibrates.
Yep. If you drift into the over the line, it vibrates. If you're going to hit something, it vibrates.
Yeah.
That thing is bopping you all around at all times.
I know. So we need to like disable it and cover the camera.
Well, that's why she's going to drive my car.
Okay. I just think for a variety, she could drive a bunch of cars.
No, that's true.
Yeah. Anyway.
You just have a really nice car.
Yeah. I'm not going to take her downtown. I'm going to take her to an empty parking lot on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, that's fair. But yes, your car has 75 cameras. We got to find them all and cover them with black tape. Mine has one. Okay.
Oh, so Mary is feeling very guilty. Lucy is like, I can't believe this. She's like, I'm a disgrace to women drivers everywhere.
Lucy's like, no, you're not. You're just a disgrace to women everywhere.
And like, she's like guilt ridden and doesn't want to drive. And then she's like fake crying all over the place. And then her mom asks her to parallel park Annie and she can't. And she's like, I knew
it. She like backs up right onto the lawn of the front lawn of the school.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
So embarrassing. And do you know what's so embarrassing? I just had this memory, this like core memory. For driver's ed, like the teacher would come to your school sometimes.
That's not me.
And I had to meet the instructor and like his windshield washer fluid, maybe was it empty or it wasn't working.
Okay.
And he like yelled out the window for me to pick up some snow and like rub it on the windshield. And I remember being mortified. Because, like, everybody was watching, and I was, like, putting snow on a windshield.
Okay. So we live in a province in Canada where, like, if you run out of problem number one with my car that you don't have with your car is my car doesn't warn me when I'm about to run out of windshield washer fluid.
Yeah, that's risky.
It's, like, windshield washer roulette.
Yeah.
And so I'll just be driving down one of our major roads, and it's slushy and dirty and, like, there's cars just spitting stuff up at you.
Yeah.
And I go through so much windshield washer fluid. Okay. So my point is, did he go to get the windshield washer fluid?
Like, that's why I think maybe something was, I can't remember.
That's not an appropriate safe car for you to be learning to drive in.
And yet it's a miracle I'm here today to live to tell the tale. I don't know.
Mine also picked me up at my school. And did you ever get to drive the skid car?
No, I didn't.
There was a skid car just on the outskirts of the city.
Yeah.
And you could go and it was like it was this big track.
Like hydroplaning.
And yeah, they would hydroplane you on purpose.
Yeah.
And then you'd get to recover.
Yeah.
Ironically, I then rode off the family vehicle hydroplaning. But anyways, I was too confident.
Oh.
So then Matt and Lucy get in the vehicle and they're going to try to teach her.
Yeah.
And it's like she just can't, like she can't. She's driving like
she's gunning it backwards, over spinning it one way. Yeah.
So then Lucy's like, oh my God, I've been watching this for so long. I could do it.
And she nails it.
Lucy nails it. And everyone's just mad. And that's how the story ends.
Yeah, that's Mary's story. Like, considering it was the main synopsis,
so much more happened.
It's like so much more happened.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about Annie and her pregnancy hormones?
Oh, she just wants to bang Eric everywhere.
Gross.
So gross.
She like needs to go find a payphone to call Eric. And she's got this elaborate plan where she's going to turn all the clocks back. So the kids think it's 8 o'clock when it's actually 7 forward, I guess. Yeah. When it's 7 o'clock, so they go to bed early. I'm like, what a time to be alive. I remember like being around kids before they have devices mm-hmm. and you could do that.
Yeah.
But now you'd just ask Google what time it is, or you'd just look at your phone.
Yeah. Or you'd look anywhere in the
literally
house.
Literally
clocks all over the place.
I know, but she's saying she would go and turn them all back.
I know.
But so she's like trying to convince Eric that he needs to come home to do her. And
he's like, oh, I'm too tired. I have to go to the pool hall to meet someone.
Yeah. And she's like, better not be a cute girl. And he's like, well, it is a cute girl, but she's in trouble. Or she's
like, now that I know who the cute girl was, he shouldn't have said
no,
that.
No, inappropriate. And yet, so on the nose for the actor.
So on the nose. So, okay. So then after the pool hall, we'll tell about the pool hall in a minute.
Yeah. She's like trying to have sex by the fire. She's trying to have sex at nap time. She's just like a horn dog.
She's a horn dog. And then they do, I guess, apparently they imply that they did have sex in front of the fire.
Yeah.
But then now that Mary's got her license, she's like, okay, first road trip for everybody. And she calls everybody downstairs except for Matt because he's out doing something else.
Yeah.
And she's like, Mary's going to take you guys all to the pizza place and you're going to be an hour so they can go do it again. And Eric's like, actually, I really just need to get to the church. And she's like, nope.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
But then the next morning,
hormone shift.
Hormone shift. Eric goes to like touch her and hug her. And she's like, ew, get away from me. Get off me, gross.
Yeah. Like more accurate. Like, I wondered if she was going to go into labor because I can't remember. It must be the end of this season that she has the babies or something.
I looked ahead and I think she goes into labor and then the season premiere of season 4 is when
the babies are there. Oh, she's pregnant for a long time.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Annie and her pregnancy hormones.
Should we talk about Eric? I think we should talk about Matt and the other person last.
Oh, last. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So, or should we talk about Simon and Ruthie and Eric all together about Simon's issue?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Eric is going to the pool hall to meet a child.
Yeah. He says cute girl, and it's Dina.
Dina, Simon's girlfriend.
Okay, but they keep saying best friend. So, did they maybe break up? Because wasn't it Dina who was in trouble with Johnny, who had a gun?
Yeah. Johnny's gonna come after you.
Oh my god. So, I mean, it sounds like they're just best friends.
I know, they hugged.
They hugged. They didn't kiss. So, Eric is at the pool hall with Dina.
Playing pool. I was so worried because, so she's doing that thing where you can't hit the ball.
Yeah.
And I was so worried he was gonna, like, lean over her to,
like a creeper.
Yeah. Ew. Don't do that.
No, but they didn't. I wonder if they took a take of it and then the producers were like, actually, oh, we can't do that. So she's like, she's saying, I feel so bad. I was so mean to Simon today. And he's like, well, I think he'd understand. And she's like, I just never know, like, who to tell, you know? And Eric is like, yeah. He says some political thing like, yeah, everyone seems to have this problem.
Yeah.
In the White House. Okay. I don't know who the president was then, but would it have been Clinton?
1999?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Hey, Siri. Who was the president of the United States in 1999?
Bill Clinton.
Oh, Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, sorry. That's messed that up.
I'm just going to Bill Clinton's Wikipedia page. Bring me my notes back.
So he's like, you know, I think Simon would understand. I think it's better if you tell him. We don't know what they're talking about.
No.
So she's like, okay, yeah, I guess I will. And then
she shows up at Simon's. She's doing this thing. And I think they were maybe trying to like channel like some late 80s movies where she like throws a rock at the window. And so he comes outside. And
it was like one of those sticky
that was bow and arrows. Time.
No, she was holding a bow and arrow and both a flashlight. Times? Yes. Because I remember like, what in the Katniss Everdeen is this?
Oh, so she shoots him with the bow and arrow twice.
Yeah, she shoots his window.
With first, a suction arrow.
Yeah. And so he comes down. He's like, do you want to tell me why?
You're being such a bitch.
Yeah. Basically. Well, so before that, though, this is kind of, it all ties together.
Oh, yeah.
Simon and Ruthie are watching TV and Simon's just can't focus on anything because Dina was mean to him and she's distant and cold. Oh, so, and they talk about breaking up. So I guess they are dating.
Yeah.
And
so he's so worried she's going to break up. She's like, she's going to break up with me because she's being so mean.
Yeah. And during this conversation,
there's a commercial on the TV in the background for Mabel, the psychic.
Yeah.
And it's like a 1-900 number or something. And
it's like, predict your future.
Ruthie's like, well, let's just call Mabel the psychic and ask her. And Simon's like, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
But remember Ruthie's phone addiction.
She's got a phone addiction. Takes after Aunt Julie. But with a phone.
But with a phone. So sure enough, Ruthie calls the psychic from the commercial. And it's the actress Phyllis Diller.
Yeah, you got so excited. I don't know.
She's like, she's dead now, but
oh no,
she was like a comedian, like from the get, like she's been a comedian and she's been in everything and she did a ton of voice actors, act, being whatever. And
I'm not here to shame anyone.
She was like one of the first people to have plastic surgery, and it was like a breakthrough. And okay. Yeah, she just like,
great.
I don't know. She's an actress.
Okay. So
from the 50s. And
60s. She's like, Ruthie's like, I heard you're a psychic. And she's like, oh, did you? So anyway, it turns out she's not a psychic, but she didn't want to break Ruthie's heart. And she was like, I just want to know if my brother Simon's girlfriend is going to break up with him. And she's like, no, they're going to be together for 50 years. And so then Dina goes Katniss Everdeen and shoots the window with her bow and arrow. Simon goes outside and she's like, I just wanted to tell you why I was so upset. And he's like, no, you don't have to. We're not going to break up. I know. And she's like, okay, well, I want to tell you. And he's like, okay. And then she like gets really weird. Like,
she's like, when I was 5, I had to go get a physical for the gym team that I was on.
The dance team.
Dance team. And they did the physical and they found out I had leukemia. Like, okay. And then she says her family just fell apart.
And that's when her doctor introduced her to Eric.
And her whole family to Eric.
And he really brought them all back together. And Simon's like, so you met my dad before me?
That's all he focuses on.
Yeah, not leukemia, not the scare, not feeling. So my dad met you before me?
And so what he's so what Dina is upset about is that every year on the 1 year anniversary, which is right now, she has to go have a scan, her like all clear scan. So she's stressed and she admits, she says, I'm scared and it comes out in anger and I took it out on you. And she apologizes and he's like, but you knew my dad first. And he just kind of storms off.
Yeah. He's like, okay, I got to go. Bye. And she's just like standing in the yard with her bow and arrow and flashlight in her pajamas. Where do you live, Dina? How did you get here? But off she goes. So that's fine, I guess.
And Simon goes in the back door and Eric's standing there and he's just like, you knew this whole time?
Yeah.
And Eric's like, yeah, look, I couldn't tell you. It's like,
yeah, confidentiality.
But not a patient.
Yeah.
Jesus, confidentiality.
How many times in your life has it been late at night and you have gone downstairs in a robe or to your kitchen in a robe for milk?
Zero.
That's what I think. This is just a very common TV, like.
It's a TV trope.
Yes, like I've never, I could never be in a bathrobe. Ew. That's like too.
Like even over your jammies? Like they both had them over.
Did you know Tide has been upgraded to provide an even better clean in cold water? Tide is specifically designed to fight any stain you throw at it, even in cold. Butter? Yep. Chocolate ice cream? Sure thing. Barbecue sauce? Tide's got you covered. You don't need to use warm water. Additionally, Tide Pods let you confidently fight tough stains with new ColdZyme technology. Just remember, if it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide.
They're jammies. Nobody was naked.
Okay, fair. But I feel like over my I guess I'm wearing a hoodie.
Yeah, I feel like
it's too hot. The sleeves are too baggy.
I know. I have one that I just throw on.
It makes me very uncomfortable when you do.
Naked.
No, I know. It's just
we have children.
It's so soft and so plush.
It makes me too hot. It's not my favorite one. I wish I
and I know one. That you're not, and like I don't know if we've talked about it on this podcast, but I'm a never nude. And so just the thought of like sweating with that material next to my skin.
Yeah, I hate it. Like I hate this robe, but I can't just traipse around naked.
No, I'm gonna get you like a terry cloth robe.
That's what I would love.
A terry cloth. Terry. We have so many neighbors on our street named Terry.
We do.
Old white men named Terry. This is perfect. That's what I'm going to get you.
When I was pregnant, I would get up in the middle of the night and go have a snack, but it was never milk.
Right. And yeah, it's always just like someone's getting something from the fridge. So you get the light of the fridge in the dark kitchen. Anyway, every time I see a scene like that, I'm like, who does this?
Yeah, it's a TV trope. It's
if
silly.
You do this, maybe it's an American thing.
Maybe. You
just
put on your
send us a message like on Instagram, TikTok, whatever, and tell me about your robe and
also
where
though,
you go in your house in it.
You should be eating more during the day so that you're full at bedtime, so that you get a full night's sleep, not waking up in the middle of the night to go get a snack.
Yeah. Are you just channeling your rage towards
my other child?
Your other child who wakes up exactly 30 minutes after going to bed every night saying, I'm hungry.
After he didn't eat most of his food all day?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sure leaving a plain chicken breast outside of his door.
Chicken finger and some tater tots. Yeah.
Just pure protein.
So Simon's pissed because Eric knew all along and he didn't tell him. And he was like, even when you knew I had a crush on her, even when you knew we started dating, even da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And Eric's like, yeah, like, it's her story to tell. I was there as a confidant.
Yeah.
Anyways, he's like, he yells at him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the- okay. So then Ruthie calls the psychic again because now it's test day.
And she wants to know if Dina's going to be okay.
And so Mabel tells her,
like, I don't want to, you know, I can't give you that. I'm not comfortable answering that. But just tell Simon that everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. That's like a valid answer. Because even if she dies, could still be okay. I don't know.
Listen, Dina, you might die. But everybody else, it'll be okay over here.
So then, okay, so then it cuts to the school. Simon doesn't know if she's going to be at school or not. Turns out she is at school. It's gym class, and they're playing dodgeball. And so Simon gets a bathroom note so he can sneak over to the girls' locker room and talk to her.
To see if she's okay. To apologize for storming off.
Right. And she's like, I'm just afraid of dying, and your dad taught me to say that.
Say that out loud.
So then he's like, after they make up, everything's going to be fine.
No, but he says, listen, my sister called a psychic.
Oh, yeah.
Mabel says you're going to be okay. And she's like, tell me that. Like,
she's like, what if Mabel had said I wasn't going to be okay? And don't spread my news.
Yeah.
Get your name out of her mouth.
Yeah.
No, your mouth, Simon.
Simon. So she runs off.
And then the gym teacher appears. Mr. Gym Teacher.
And he's like, Simon, you better head back to class.
And he's like, I also had cancer. I heard the word leukemia. My ears perked up. I've been in remission for 20 years. And Simon's like, well, does Dina know this? And he's like, no, it's never come up. And he's like, well, could it?
Yeah, like, you need to find a way to tell Dina.
Maybe reassure. And like, I don't know. I feel like the gym teacher would have known.
I don't know. I don't know.
She's 12 now.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So it turns out.
Dina's fine.
She's fine. She comes and she's like, you can congratulate me.
She shoots an
me.
Arrow at the door
yeah,
again.
Yeah, she shoots an arrow at the door. And
I thought her face was going to appear. They did one of those scenes where he's setting the table and there's like obviously a kitchen window right behind him.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a jump scare.
It's not their Halloween episode.
Dina's jump scare.
Yeah, so it turns out she's going to be fine. She's all in the clear. They hug it out. Everything's great.
Everything's great.
And then...
And then we have to wrap up Ruthie.
Oh, God.
And then it all comes out that Ruthie's been making these phone calls, and they're going to be so expensive.
Yeah.
And so Annie's like, well, what's the number? I'm going to call it back. And she's like, 555-1111. And Annie's like, oh, that's it? It wasn't like, it didn't start with a 1-800 or a 1-900? And she's like, no. So it's not going to cost anything. It's just a local number that Ruthie misdialed. And she's been talking to just some lonely old lady, Phyllis Diller.
Yeah, but then, so Annie's like, yeah, you've been talking to my kid saying you're a psychic? And she's like, no, I actually told her I'm not a psychic.
But she keeps calling.
She keeps calling and... I didn't want, you know, I knew she was really upset for Simon and I didn't want her to feel scared. And so then Annie's like, oh, that was actually really nice of you. Thank you. And then she's like, well, she won't be phoning you again. And then Mabel is like, oh, that's too bad. It gets awful lonesome around here and I enjoyed the call. And then Annie knows nothing about this woman. Is she on the sex offender registry? Is she a murderer? Is she a Republican? No.
They could probably be a predator.
Yeah. She could be anything.
Any type of predator.
Any kind. And Annie's like, well, we'll have to keep in touch then. And so it seems like it's decided that they're now all family friends.
Yeah. So I was looking because I was like looking up Phyllis Diller. She's in 3 episodes.
Oh.
So she'll come back.
What a pleasant surprise. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
But our her real name's not Mabel. We don't know her real name, but.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Mabel, the possible pedophile, will be.
Unless her name is Mabel. Like, maybe she's like, hi, are you a psychic? And she's like, yeah, my name's Mabel.
It wasn't, though.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you what it. Oh, no.
No, it's okay.
No, feels... I'm going to do it. It's going to be so fast. Episode, season 3.
You are very fast at IMDb.
Yeah, I know it off by heart.
Like, I always have to be like, what does the logo look like? What do I type in? How do I find what I need?
Oh, no, it does just say Mabel.
I do think this is maybe what her real name is in the show.
No, because it was this way. If I click on Phyllis Diller and then it came up with Seventh Heaven, Gabriel / Mabel.
Gabrielle.
Gabrielle.
Okay.
And it says she's in 3 episodes, but look, 2023. So do we have to wait?
2003.
Yeah. What's wrong with me?
I don't know.
We have to wait like 3 years till we see her again.
All right.
Anyways.
Okay. So now for the real pièce de résistance. Matt is driving his sweet car that his mom rebuilt for him.
His Camaro.
He's taking a shortcut home from school and he looks out the window and who does he see rushing down the sidewalk with a paper bag of groceries?
Aunt Julie. Drunk old Aunt Julie.
Yeah. Drunk like me, if you recall from season 1 or 2.
So if you recall, Aunt Julie is Eric's sister and she's an alcoholic. And it was around the same time that the little homeless boy, George.
Oh, yeah.
Boy George showed up. And also the Colonel and Ruth were in town, Grandma yeah. Ruth. Anyways, Aunt Julie like attacks Simon because he steals the key to the liquor cabinet.
Yeah. And she's like, give me that key.
Give me that key.
And then Annie throws her and is like, get out of the house. But then Eric decides, I'm going to detox her in our bed.
Which is like the most dangerous thing you can do. Please don't do that.
People die doing that. Yeah. I don't care if you're a pastor, unless you're a medical professional in a licensed facility, please don't try to detox somebody.
Your sister
in your marital bed. With a Bible in a rocking chair.
Yeah, it was very like Exorcist. And then they convince her to go to rehab. But then when she gets out of rehab, it's the same episode where they've got George and then the Colonel and Ruth are going to adopt George. And so the last time we saw her, she was getting in a car and going back to Arizona or New York.
New York, I think. With George's biological father.
Who showed up out of nowhere. And the Colonel and Ruth.
And they were all going to drive back or head back to New York and live together in some sort of weird modern day
family.
But George's...
Remember the boat?
Yes, George's...
That the dad was crying in?
Yes. Oh, God. If you have not listened to all these episodes, you need to go back. So George's biological dad and Aunt Julie were very flirty and they left together and it seemed like things...
They were going to drive across the country with... They were going to drive the boat back. Everyone else, I think, was taking an airplane.
Yes.
George and the grandma and grandpa.
I'm surprised the grandpa just didn't want to sit in the boat the whole way.
Oh my God.
So Kel surprised that Aunt Julie's back in Glen Oak of all places. And so Matt ends up going back to where he thought he saw she went in, like an apartment building, bad part of town.
It's very dodgy.
There's like a pub on the bottom, says cocktails and some sort of glowy letters. And somehow he just knows which apartment is hers and he knocks on the door.
But she sees him coming, like by chance. She takes, there's a half drank bottle of whiskey on the table and she like shoves it under the couch
and then gathers all these newspapers and makes a pile. And she's like, oh, hi. And he's like, hey, I thought it was you. And she's like, yeah, I thought I heard someone calling me. Anyway, she says the Colonel's been, you know, helping too much and she needs to step out on her own and she can't rely on everybody's help. She needs to do this on her own. And if that means living in a dingy apartment in a bad part of town.
And she's a school teacher, formerly a principal.
Yeah.
And she was like, I can't get a job in New York because everyone knows why I got fired.
Yeah.
And so that's why she came out to Glen Oak, but doesn't tell anybody that she's there.
This is before LinkedIn.
This is before LinkedIn. She says she's been sober for 25 months, 3 weeks, and 3 days.
Oh, good for you for writing that down.
Thanks.
And so Matt's like, wow. And she's like, you know, Matt, just do me a favor. And like, please don't tell anybody I'm here. Don't reach out. When I'm ready, when I'm feeling stable, I will reach out. I promise. Just let me do this thing on my own.
And instead, he parks in his car outside her apartment and waits.
Like a goddamn creeper. And he sees her leaving with a man.
Gray-haired man.
And she's like, okay, bye. You got to get out of here.
Get out of here. And like, this is the nephew that who's been like parentified. Like,
yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
Did you notice he was wearing like a white tank top and then he had all his chest hair showing?
Ew.
During most of the episode?
Yeah. He's a man now.
Yeah.
And so.
So then he's trying to like drop hints.
Wait, we got to back up though.
Oh.
Because when Matt is in the bad part of town before he sees Aunt Julie for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Can we talk about the old fashioned squeegee guy?
Yeah.
So squeegee kids, I haven't seen them in a long time, but it used to be on 17th Avenue in Calgary.
And 14th.
Yes, and you'd pull up to an intersection and all of these youth with buckets and squeegees would descend upon your car, no consent, and just start cleaning your windows with the expectation that you would pay them.
And like sometimes it was dirty ass water.
Yeah, this wasn't like an up and up operation. And they were called the squeegee kids.
Yeah.
And so now Matt's car, this like old man experiencing homelessness, comes up with some crumpled up newspaper and Windex.
He squeezes. And then he's wiping. I'd be so mad if I was Matt.
Yeah, he was wiping dirty newspaper on his windshield. And Matt's like, no, I don't have any money. Please don't do that. And the guy like walks away. Anyway, I just needed to comment on that.
Because they needed to give him a reason to be stopped, to notice Aunt Julie.
Yeah.
It was just a funny reason.
Yeah. Okay, so Matt's trying to drop hints. He's feeling kind of weird. He doesn't know what to do.
He says something like, hey, I had a dream that I saw Aunt Julie. Wonder what she's up to.
Yeah.
And Annie and Eric are like, okay,
that's
bad
weird.
Liar.
Yeah, and then he leaves and they're like, he's a really bad liar. I wonder what's up.
So sure enough, so Matt tells Eric that Aunt Julie is in town. And at the same time, Aunt Julie has reached out to Annie.
Oh, she did.
Yeah.
I didn't understand how Annie showed up at her school.
Yeah. She was like, thanks so much for calling me.
Oh, I see.
So Annie showed up at the school, at the classroom where Aunt Julie's working, and they have like a heart-to-heart, but you don't hear it. Like, it just implies.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Eric, because he's a goddamn meddler, Matt has showed him where Aunt Julie's apartment is, and he's busted in, break and enter.
Yeah.
And now rooted through her apartment. And so he's sitting on her couch where he's found this half-drank bottle of rum or whiskey, whatever the hell it is.
Sitting on the coffee table.
And he's got his like hands in his head when she walks through the door.
And she's like, oh.
Hi.
I should have expected to find you here.
Like,
boundaries.
She knows you break boundaries. That's why she's out. That's why she's hiding from you.
Yeah.
Until she feels comfortable.
Like, move to San Diego, not Glen Oak, where your brother's the pastor of the local church. Anyway, so he's like, you know, do you need help? And she's like, I don't need help. I'm sober.
And he's like, well, there's this bottle.
Yeah. And somehow they don't continue talking and he leaves. And then.
Oh, no, Eric says, I want to send you to treatment. I'm going to call that treatment place and see if there's a spot. And she's like, get the hell out of my house.
Get out of here.
So then back at the house.
Can you imagine having him as a brother?
Oh, no.
Like growing up, then as an adult, like.
No, because growing up, it would have been nauseating.
Yeah.
And then I would have become an adult and been like, you got to get out of my life. And I would have tried to like make these boundaries just like Aunt Julie is.
I would have started drinking.
Yeah, I would have become an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And he would have just been breaking into my house. God. So, and he wouldn't be allowed around my children, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Do you think, would you have liked to have Annie as a sister-in-law?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I think so.
I'd probably drink a lot of wine with her.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I guess not if I'm the alcoholic sister, but you know what I mean. Like,
you're the sober sister.
Yeah.
No, so, yeah. I have a great sister-in-law, but
Krista's great.
I know. Okay, so Annie and Eric and Matt, they're back. We're back at the house now.
Yes.
And the three of them got to have adult talk about Aunt Julie.
Yeah, and Matt and Eric are just devastated.
Devastated that she's drinking. And Annie's like, well, maybe you should involve me in this conversation too. And they're like, pardon? Like, she reached out.
A woman knows something?
Like, if Eric was my brother, I would reach out to Annie first too.
Oh, yeah. 100% of the time. Mm-hmm.
And Annie's like, well, she's not drinking. And they were like, well, there's this bottle of booze in her house. And she's like, well, maybe you should have asked her about it first rather than jumping to conclusions and breaking boundaries and breaking and entering into her home.
Breaking the law. Breaking boundaries.
Stalking her. Matt. Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, ding dong, Aunt Julie's here. She's taking a taxi. And she comes in.
With the bottle.
With the bottle.
Still only half full. Or half empty, whichever way I want to look at it. She's not drinking it.
No, still corked. And she says, back in New York, my sponsor died of natural causes.
So not alcoholism, I think, is her point.
Yeah, I thought that was like a weird thing to say. But he gifted it to her. He left it to her because he said, this bottle was the last bottle I ever took a sip from. And then I was sober for 30 years. Yeah.
Then he died of natural causes unrelated to alcoholism. And now she has inherited this bottle of booze.
Yeah.
Which seems problematic.
Yeah. Like, I don't identify as an alcoholic and I'm not in recovery, so I can't speak to it. I just think that that's playing with fire.
Yeah. I mean, maybe
you're early in your recovery.
Yes. And maybe for her sponsor, that was the right thing for him.
Yes.
But it seems...
To leave it to somebody
seems presumptuous that they, like, what if that sent her off the wagon?
Yeah.
Anyways, so she gives the bottle to Eric and says, can you hang on to it until I'm ready to dump it out or something like that?
Well, because she does say, she's like, some days it's minute by minute,
yeah,
hour by hour. And she's like, I'm hoping you can keep this for me until
I'm ready to drink it.
shots, until she's like ready.
Yeah.
And so they hug and...
And then Eric still starts to say, can I give you some money?
Yeah, and Matt's like, damn, cut it out.
Shut up. She's like, no, I'm taking a cab home. She has a job. She's a teacher.
Yeah, leave her alone.
God.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, that's the end of that.
So are we going to see more of Aunt Julie? I didn't even look up on IMDb.
I do recall on TikTok seeing a clip from another season and... Aunt Julie's in it.
Okay. She has passed away in real life.
Oh,
remember she died of cancer. We did that whole Patreon episode about people that have died.
Yeah.
So she's in 18 episodes. So she's still got a ways to go. We've really only seen her in like 3.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So that's that.
Julie Camden Hastings. Does she get married?
Like, I don't want to say anymore. So
you saw on TikTok.
I did. This is what I'm I just, I know that she comes back, but I can't say anymore.
Oh my goodness. You're a spoiler.
So you literally just saw it. I've said nothing.
Okay, fair.
Okay, so you're leaving tomorrow, but tomorrow's Thursday, but you're back on Sunday.
Yep. Then we got to carve pumpkins.
We're going to carve pumpkins and then...
Have a sex talk with the kids. That's the plan.
Unrelated, we want to have an awkward conversation with the kids about safety, body safety.
Yeah, like they know about sex.
Yes, this will not be an introduction. I feel like this could spiral. We're heading downhill.
We should record it, put it on the page. Olivia would die.
So then, but you're back. So next week we will record an episode.
Mm-hmm. And a Patreon or two.
Okay.
Promise.
Like, I feel overwhelmed by saying or two. Like, okay. Let's be realistic.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. We have a lot going on next week, actually.
Yeah, okay. Tell us about episode 12.
All That Jazz. The still shot is of Lucy, and it looks like she's running and crying, which is very
classic.
Standard. A friend of Lucy's seeks refuge in her closet as she tries to deal with the death. Oh, this doesn't make sense. As she tries to deal with the death of his mother.
Oh. I know.
Do you know?
I saw on TikTok.
You got to stop it.
Well, I'm not responsible for my own For You page.
Yes, you are. You are 100% responsible for it.
Okay, I'll stay off the Seventh Heaven TikToks.
Just if, as soon as you see anybody, you just swipe it away.
Get out of here.
Swipe left.
Okay. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok. If you want more.
Yeah, follow us on TikTok. Listen to our TikToks.
Yeah, do that. Let us give you the details. And also, if you want some bonus episodes, go check out our Patreon. Mm-hmm. You can look us up by just looking up a lesbian recap, because we're recapping more than just Seventh Heaven.
Yeah, just lesbian stuff.
All right, go pack.
Bye.
Bye.